You.
Get ready for the return of the Kardashians. Kick off the weekend with brand new Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Hey You.
Oh my God!
The Kardashians.
Stream or download all new episodes the same day as the US.
Best reality show.
It's a perfect family on another level.
Download the app or visit heyyou.com to get your 1 month free.
The ID Mobile Wow Deals event is now on. Save up to £120 on the latest smartphones, including the awesome Samsung Galaxy A40. That's £120 you can spend on other stuff, like 2,123 chocolate eggs, perhaps. But hurry, the ID Mobile Wow Deals event ends April the 21st. Switch and save today at idmobile.co.uk. While stocks last, offer subject to change. T's and C's apply. See website for details.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels! Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Soccarellis.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay? Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Nancy, cease and desisto. We will, Jason Rockland, you.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
We love you guys. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. It's me, Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, baby. You guys, you can find me over on Rose Pricks, the Bachelor podcast, and you can find Ben over at Game Brain, which is a fantastic gaming podcast, and The Real Housewives of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon on YouTube that Ben draws, acts in, does everything for, okay? Hi, everybody. Welcome. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. This is Roni premiere week, so this is a very special time on the podcast.
Yep, the world is still going crazy around us, but it's a big week for us here at Work at Home week, which I guess is like every week for us, but we're going to have a really big week. Okay, so we were going to do a live show this week someplace. In somewhere. And we're not able
Orlando.
To. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And we're not able to, but all no one can go outside. So we're going to still do it. This time we are going to do a pre-show. This is going to be right after Real Housewives of New York premiere on Thursday night. We're going to go on Instagram for a pre-show for about half an hour at 7:30 Pacific time, which is 10:30 Eastern time, okay? And then at 8 o'clock Pacific and 10 o'clock, no, 11 o'clock Eastern, we're going to do our live show streaming on our Patreon channel at the Crappens On Demand level, which is where all our videos are. So if you want to come to that show, go sign up, okay? It's on Patreon. Also, another big thing we're doing is we love Tiger King, just like the rest of you do. We did an episode last week as a bonus, so we're going to re-release that on our main feed so that people can hear it. And then we're going to do a marathon next week of all of the Tiger King episodes. We're going to do each episode. One of them is going to be this week on bonus, but the next week we're just going to put the rest of them out on every day, basically, next week for our bonus content next week. And those will also be available as videos. Episode one we didn't do a video of, but the rest of them will all be videos on Crappens On Demand as well. So go sign up at Crappens On Demand, okay?
Yeah, it's going to be a big, big week and a half for us starting on Thursday. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, me too. And Rose Pricks is back up. We did a preview, a two-parter preview episode for this new season of that music show coming up. So check that out. And today, darling, we're going to recap Top Chef.
Top Chef. Wait, before we get into Top Chef, though, can I say something that really annoyed me on Instagram about 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, please. I love an Insta pissed off.
Ben. No, someone tagged us in this post, and I think it was supposed to make, like, we were supposed to get, like, outraged, but my outrage went the other way. So basically, there's this guy, he posted a video of himself. He was working backstage with Countess Luann on her Giovanni photo shoot, and, like, he's sitting there, he's, like, reading, he has the lyrics to Feeling Giovanni, and he's reading the lyrics out loud. So that way, Luann knows what the lyrics are when she's lip syncing. And his caption is, "Fun fact, I was the only reason why Countess Luann knew her lyrics while filming her music video, got dressed in time, had jewelry on, had multiple shoe options, wrangled her housewife friends. Oh yeah, that's right. But I didn't get credit for helping for 18 hours straight filming the Feeling Giovanni music video. Remember that while you tune into this season of Roni." So, I mean, yes, credit is important, but also, like, you're a PA. I mean, right? Like, I mean, maybe he's more than a PA. But
do they roll credits on music videos?
I feel like...
Is that a new thing that we roll credits now on the end of music videos, sir?
I mean, do you know, like, when I was an intern and a PA, the amount of bullshit I did? I once had to stick my hand down a toilet to unclog it because there was no plunger in the bungalow for the production offices of Three Sisters, an oft-forgotten NBC sitcom starring Diane Cannon. They made me stick my hand down a toilet, okay?
Hey, that's just what it is. I washed off nuts in a sink for Robert Goulet because he didn't want salt on his nuts, okay? And I got those nuts on a bicycle in the summer in Jupiter, Florida. Actually, it wasn't the summer. It was the winter. But still, it felt like summer. How dare you, sir?
Yeah, so this guy's like, oh, I had to read the lyrics because Countess Luann couldn't remember her lyrics. I'm like, she's trying to remember her whatever limited choreo she's doing, and she's got a wind machine going, and now you want to remember her lyrics too when we all know she's not a real singer? Come on now, relax. You knew what you signed up for, sir.
And who is a turncoat like that? Like, you basically just betrayed the person who hired you to do your fucking job. You want a fucking medal for doing your job, sir? Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's like you literally are working for a diva and are surprised that you have to, like, get her jewelry and then didn't get credit for it. I mean, how about this? There's a long line of victims in the wake of Faye Dunaway. And are they on Instagram asking for credit for anything? No.
No, and that means Countess Luann is too nice. This person should be missing his ring finger, okay? This is bullshit. You're a turncoat. How dare you? Shut the fuck up and go back to work, okay? You were paid to do that job, and you did it. You know what? Everyone doesn't get a fucking gold medal, okay?
Seriously. I just got so mad reading that. I was like, am I just supposed to feel bad for you? I mean, I'm sorry, sir. You know, you do not get credit. And I'm not even going to say what his IG account is, because I'm not going to give him that credit.
Well, why would she give you credit? Even though I did actually post it on our stories already. She didn't even give Giovanni credit.
I know. Didn't even give Dorinda credit.
I mean, you're talking about Countess Luann. Her storyline was not giving Giovanni credit. Okay? So...
Oh, it's hilarious. Thank you for indulging me in that moment.
No, thank you for lighting some anger in me, because, you know, it's Monday, and
Monday.
I'm like, hey, I'm in such a positive place today, so thank you for taking me out of it, because I don't need positivity in this line of work.
Well, I can also give you some sadness, which is so this episode of Top Chef opened up with a memorial screen for Floyd. I don't know how to say his last name. Is it Cardoz? I think it's Cardoz, who won Top Chef Masters Season 3 and sadly succumbed to the coronavirus, or COVID-19, last week, which was shocking.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, that's why. I was going to mention it on the show last week, but I was like, I don't want to be a downer. We're trying to sort of escape these things, but unfortunately, it does not. You can't really escape it. So that was, and that was especially, I was really surprised by that because I've been watching Ugly Delicious on Netflix, and I just watched the episode that he was on with David Chang, and they were talking, and then like the next day it was announced. So super sad. So it was really nice that Top Chef put that, normally they put those things at the end of an episode, and I thought it was actually really lovely that they put that at the top of the episode to really make sure people saw that.
Yeah, and it was a memorial episode anyway, so it fit the theme.
Yeah, it did fit. And by the way, Andy Cohen did post today that he's feeling better and he's going to be back to work.
Yeah, so see, it's okay that we made fun of him, everybody.
Yeah. That means we're back to making fun of Andy.
Yeah, he's feeling so good that he's back in Gay Pride horizontal stripe sweaters. I saw that as well. I was like, well, someone's bragging about their Corona diet.
Yeah, there was like a nurse on the marathon, the concert thing last night that was on Fox that was like, we're on the front lines and this is really difficult. And on top of that, we have a patient who keeps asking me if I've had my boobs done. So it's been...
He would too. They're like, go towards the light, Andy.
Have you had your boobs done?
Anyway, so this week's episode of Top Chef, remember last week it ended where Padma said, well, now that so-and-so has been kicked off the show, I'm sure y'all are ready for some rest, but guess what? The next challenge starts right now. So
after this commercial, now drive home in your BMW X7. I was like, whoa, you guys upgraded, damn.
Yeah, she's like, so basically the challenge is that Padma picks up Jonathan Gold's 101 best restaurants, and as you probably learned from the episode, Jonathan Gold was a super 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 influential food writer here in Los Angeles, and he would come out with this 101 best restaurants every single year.
Yeah, so he reviewed Chameau back in the day when I worked at Chameau, the Moroccan restaurant in LA. Yeah, and he changed our lives, that's for sure.
I was rich, darling, rich after that review came out.
Yeah, I learned about tons of restaurants through him. I mean, he was really, really, like, you sort of would, you know, you would wait to hear what he was writing about, and then, like, it would go on your list of a place to check out.
Yeah, it also did bring in a lot of douchebags, I have to say, because, you know, he's very popular. He's like, the biggest at what he does, or did. And he brought in all sorts of LA crazies that not used to seeing at that restaurant. And I learned how to deal with a lot of people in LA. So you know what, Jonathan? Thank you so much. You've really helped me navigate Los Angeles, which is why I've started living in Texas. Thanks. Point is,
we miss you, buddy. Back. You'll be back. So yeah, so basically the challenge is that they're gonna everyone's gonna split up into different teams, and they're going to go to all these different restaurants around town and then ultimately serve 200 people at Union Station, all of Jonathan's friends, etc. And Ruth Reichel is going to be the guest judge. So that's when Padma's like, this list covers a lot of ground and so will you. So use your BMW X7 with complimentary cup holders and anti-lock brakes to navigate Los Angeles and cover as much ground as you can.
Yeah. You'll create a dish inspired by your experiences. That can mean a story you might hear, a dish you might taste. I was like, okay, who else is going to explain inspiration?
And Gail created a dish that was based on her experiences. Here it is, a pile of mud.
And then Kevin turns into the cheesiest fucking person on this episode. Now, we found out bad news about Kevin. He almost died of something or other.
Yeah,
which, tumor. Glad you didn't die, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying, like, die, Kevin! But God, what a cheeseball this guy. So he's talking the whole episode. He's like, well, this season, here's what inspiration is. Like, every time they show Kevin, he's like waxing poetic about something, like he's in his own novel. And that'll repeat itself throughout the show. But basically, my main takeaway from this was, shut up, Kevin. Just be quiet, okay? Glad you're alive. You know, glad you healed up. Now be quiet.
I'm still in, like, a really strong shut up malarkey phase right now. Like, just everything. You know, every time they have a cutaway shot to him, he has this, like, evil grin, this obnoxious bullshitting grin the entire time. And by the way, but we're going to get into it. But can we please have Ruth Reichel on all the time? She was just so savage this episode.
Yeah, she was. It was amazing. Really was. I'm sorry, but that tuna died in vain. That's something I'm just going to walk around saying the rest of my life, just about everything. Like, it doesn't even matter where I am. Like, a bus could be late, and I'm going to be like, well, I'm sorry, that tuna died in vain. But malarkey is the worst, but I really am enjoying watching him because it reminds me that I'm right about so many things. You know, I'm a very negative person, and so when my negativity is proven to be correct, I just feel so powerful, you know?
I know.
And one of my old things is people don't change. When people are like that, they just get worse with age, okay? And malarkey is proof. Like, he is the worst, and he just becomes more and more of the worst.
Exactly. But what makes me happy is it feels like this time around, people are, like, aware that he's the worst. I feel like last time he like, bamboozled everyone. But now, like, Ruth is onto malarkey, which was great. Yeah. I was so happy about that. So anyway, so the groups are going to be splitting into four groups. One group's going to go to East L.A., one's going to go to West L.A., one to downtown, and then Malarkey's like, I got Hollywood, yes! I'm like, you know what, be quiet, does not mean you are onto American Idol, okay?
Only Brian Malarkey would be excited about Hollywood. Like, those other neighborhoods had way better restaurants than Hollywood. Sorry, Hollywood, but we all know it's true. And then this is where Kevin's like, you know, I think this challenge is about invoking inspiration from where we're going. Yes, Kevin. We heard the challenge from Podmo, okay, sir?
Yes, exactly. He's like, you know, it just reminds me that life is like a BMW X7, right? Kevin, stop it. So
life is like a really expensive Toyota, basically, guys. And so Nini's with tattoo neck guy, Jamie.
And malarkey.
Like, Dad, you've got precious cargo back here. Because they're always making fun of her for being young, so she gets them back by just making, kind of, you know, reminding them that they're old every 2 seconds.
I felt so bad for her that she stuck with Jamie and malarkey and Brian Voltaggio, just because it was just, not so much from Brian, but between Jamie and malarkey, there was so much, you know, mansplaining and pontification happening in that car, and Nini's just sitting back there, and I'm like, someone save this poor woman. She does not deserve to be in this BMW X7 right now.
And now we go to Alhambra with Melissa. Melissa's from Alhambra.
Yeah, Melissa, Lisa, and Karen. So I love this. It was like a trio of lesbians, my favorite kind. Of trio, I should say. And they go to Chengdu Taste, which is delicious. I once went to Chengdu Taste, and they serve this, like, fish, this super spicy fish. It's this fish that comes in this super, super, super spicy broth. And I was there, and it was just, like, a bunch of, like, white people, basically. And I started, like, poured the broth into my cup. And I was, like, I kept on, like, it was so spicy. I was, like, how do people eat this? But I was determined to be, like, no, I'm going to get the full authentic experience. And I just sat there just, like, drinking this broth. And later I found out that you're not supposed to drink that broth ever. It's, like, it's served in the broth for the flavor. And you take the meat out, the fish out of the broth and eat the fish. So I was being...
They're super, like, thank white. God for that special broth we invented that removes the fish poo-poo before people eat it. Like, damn it! So then we go over to Gregory. Now, this episode is watching people eat a lot, basically.
Yeah, and
I was like, why am I writing this down? Because it's like people just sit together and they go, oh, my God, this is amazing. Inspiration, am I right? And they're like, yeah, inspiration.
Yeah. Oh, I was getting so hungry. And it actually made me sad because, you know, these restaurants are all here in LA. I've actually been lucky enough to go to, I think, about half of them. And the other half are ones I want to go to. And who knows if they're going to survive this pandemic. So it was definitely a bittersweet thing. Sorry, I keep bringing it down. Let me talk about something happy. Swiss cheese. What a cheese.
Yeah. You know what people are here for? To hear about the virus. Sure, that's why people are coming to us. Virus and death. Great job, Ben. You're doing great, golly.
So, Kevin...
Oh, I love you, baby. Talk about whatever you want.
Oh, thank you. So, so anyway, one time I had to stick my hand down a toilet. It was bungalow. I forget the bungalow number, but it was right there in Universal Studios.
I support that.
That was
story.
A terrible job. Diane Cannon. Wow, that's... Now, talk about a lady who should be... Talk about a lady. Diane Cannon. Wow. I really do consider myself lucky that I got to cross paths with Diane Cannon in my life.
Love her cameras.
She's crazy. She's a crazy lady. She is a crazy, crazy lady.
Well, she makes great printer ink. I'm going to give her that.
took two times, but I got it the second time.
So then we go see some boys eating, and Angelo is obsessed with this fish. Okay, it's a whole fish.
Yeah.
Just deep fried. Is this the one you were talking? No, you were talking about the restaurant.
I was talking about the other one. Is this when they're in like Jitlada? I think they are at Jitlada for this one.
This is Sarnitip? I don't know. I don't even know what I was writing in this recap.
Who knows?
There was so much information, and I was like, I'm not pressing pause.
Oh, no. That was Jitlada, which is a Thai restaurant, which was also very spicy. And I went in there, and I literally was sweating so badly that I looked like I had just been jogging.
Listen to this note. You'll like this. I wrote, whole fish deep fried. Also, Sarnitip Jack sing a song. What?
No. The owner, her name is... She goes by Jazz, but her name is like Sarnitip or something like that. But
oh, yeah. Thank you. I was trying to... I was like, what am I talking about? When did Jack start singing a song? What the hell? Okay, so Angelo eats this big whole fish, and it's coated in turmeric and fried. And he's like, fish, turmeric. So inspiring. So inspiring. Yeah. This is so inspiring. I cannot stop. And then Angelo becomes obsessed.
Yeah, for the rest of the episode. I remember a fried fish I had 20 years ago in Vietnam, and it's really making me think of that. I'm like, that's great. Like, wait, like, I'm sure that'll work out really well, just pulling out a recipe from 20 years ago that you sort of remember.
In Vietnam. I mean, how traumatizing was that? He's like, yeah, it just keeps giving me flashbacks. I'm like, please don't start having flashbacks, Angelo. Okay?
The heat is on in Saigon.
The chicks are hotter than hell.
I ate this and I was like, why God? Why?
Why God?
He's like, I know I can make this. I still believe.
Oh my God, don't start me on that.
I'm very happy that I watched that last week because now I'm like full of Saigon references.
Na 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 na. Don't start me. Do not start me, sir.
Wait, what was the song about, like, the children, the Act 2 starter where it's like, they have a name or something like that? Like,
oh, I don't listen
children,
to that one. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, their name is Kowloon or something like that.
Yeah, I fast forward through that. I just want to hear women belting. Okay, that's why I listen to that show. It's her or me, and it's me you must choose. I am not some girl from long ago.
Heat is on in Saigon. It'd be great if that's how they started the episode. All the chefs had to do a choreographed dance to that.
Brian Mularkey is cheesy enough to pull that shit off. That's like really the cheesiest thing I've ever seen in a musical, that song. The heat is on in Saigon. Da, 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 da. The chicks are hotter than hell.
It's just like truly the worst way to start a musical. Is a bunch of like burly, jaded, you know, American soldiers who've just been through like just the worst experience of their life, going to a brothel and going, the heat is on in Saigon. The heat is on in Saigon.
Oh, I will just never forget. The chicks are hotter than hell. I just have always thought that was so funny. Okay, so going to restaurants. So Leanne, Jen, and the other sour blonde.
Stephanie.
She's always looks like she's fucking miserable. It's yes. Like, wow. Hey, Stephanie, we're out of copy paper in the copy room, and it's your fault. She's like, that's her face at all times.
You always see her like sitting at a table alone at lunch, the lunch hour. And you're like, Stephanie, you want to join us? She's like, no, I'm actually just going to... catch up on my book right here. You're like, okay. You're like, gosh, she always seems sad. It's like, oh yeah, well, Peg blamed her for running out of the copy paper earlier. Yeah. So.
Oh, there's Stephanie, the girl who always forgets to buy the creamer.
And then also there's Stephanie, the girl who actually spilled the creamer, which is why she had to buy it in the first place.
Yeah. But then she's like, guys, did you see my note in the kitchen? I spilled the creamer.
Hey guys, I just want to say, I know we're all hungry, but if you could like maybe stop eating my lunch out of the fridge, I would really appreciate that. Thanks.
I know we're all upset about the creamer. Well, you guys just let the creamer go. They're like, Stephanie, please stop apologizing for the creamer, okay? Every day is not about you.
She's also Stephanie, the girl who gets an assignment 5 minutes before she's ready to leave work. Well, I was going to leave, but this just came across my desk, so.
So they go eat some Indian food, and she's like, how inspiring. I'm going to cook Indian. I was like, oh, have you seen this show, ma'am? Do you really want to get in on Padma's bad side for no reason? Because every time anybody cooks Indian, Padma's like, well, I'm Indian. Like, we know.
As an Indian from India. I have to say, I feel like the only time someone has been able to successfully cook something from India was, there was one chef, I forgot his name, but he wanted to make a tzatziki, and he made this tzatziki, and he did something wrong, and Padma goes, you may not realize it, but you just made the perfect raita. That always stuck with me, like how she just was like the perfect raita, accidentally perfect raita for Padma.
I'm Indian. Don't know if anybody's heard.
We've heard, Padma. Okay.
Monsoon Wedding. I love this film. It's just like my fam. It's
like, we know, Padma. Please be quiet during the movie. Okay.
Anyway, you may have heard of it. There's a building called the Taj Mahal. It's sort of a little hidden gem for us Indians.
Yeah, so it's not looking good for Stephanie. So then they go to a taco truck, and Lisa's like, I had a food truck in Brooklyn, so I respect food trucks. They're hard.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely, like, bonding with the owner of that one. And then the Hollywood gang, they go over to this wonderful Ethiopian restaurant called Meals by Jeanette, and everything looks amazing. And the lady who runs the restaurant comes over, starts talking about Jonathan Gold and starts to cry. It was like so sweet. And Eric gave her a hug. It was lovely.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah, it was so lovely.
That was so beautiful.
That was, I love that journey for her. So, so then the downtown group goes to a restaurant called Rose Blue, and the guy there serves them like soup in a bag. And Nini goes, Nini's like really excited. She's like, you know, it's so funny. I've been saying I want pho all day. And this just like really hits the spot. And Malarkey is just like, yeah, yeah. He just totally brushes her off. Like, everything he does makes me mad. Even him just saying, yeah. I was like, fuck you. Say, that's, you know, I tell me more about how you're feeling right now. Be more invested, Malarkey. Don't just like ignore her because she's a woman.
No, he's the kind of person who's only invested if there's someone to kiss ass around, you know?
Yeah.
Like if there's someone famous or if there's someone, you know, a judge or something like that. But then otherwise, he's just like, ugh, I'm more famous he's than like, twin yeah. beds.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just like eating. He literally just goes, yeah, yeah, and then looks away. Mm-hmm. So obnoxious.
So then the twin, Brian, is like, a few years ago, I worked on cruises, and the guys were all Filipino back there. So I was intrigued by the eggplant puree. It's like, wow, I know my note-taking is shitty, but none of that made sense to me.
And then Michael Voltaggio popped up on screen and said, actually, a few years ago, I actually sailed. I was the captain of a cruise line, and then I just built a house in the Philippines. So I guess I just am a little more invested in that puree.
Yeah, sorry I beat you again, little brother.
Sorry, I guess I'm just even more into it.
But hey, you know what might make you feel better? If you jumped out of the sky at the same exact spot I'd already done it in. Okay, talk to you later, bro.
So now they all go to Whole Foods and terrorize everyone. Basically, they just are like, I my dream is to be in one of those Whole Foods when Top Chef is filming, just to see them be crazy. Just because I just can't imagine people being monsters like that.
Well, people are such dickwads in Whole Foods. I mean, I went to Whole Foods a few weeks ago, before the world changed, and I was walking around, and there was this lady on my ass. Like when you're in traffic and someone's just like going way too fast right behind you, and I felt her. I mean, I heard her car, you know, so I moved over, like all the way to the side, and she stopped. And I looked back and I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get out of your way. And she was, sure you are. And like, I was like, this is Texas. People are supposed to be nicer here. And I thought, Ronnie, you're being paranoid. I'm, you know, of course, calling her a cut fitness in my mind. I'm like, how dare she? And then across the store in the produce section, guess who's on my ass again? And I was like, this lady is just coming for me now. Fuck this store. Mm-hmm. People are nicer at like normal stores. Okay. So yeah. Anyway, Whole Foods acting like this. Yeah. Oh, no. Don't you start. You're trying to trigger me with your hatred of 365. I love 365. You better back off.
I can't stand 365. I really cannot.
Except for the Ziplocs. I love them.
Oh, well, you know, we had to do like a little grocery order, you know, pandemic style. So, you know, so with Amazon Prime, I did the thing where, you know, you order and first of all, everything's much more expensive at Whole Foods than it is than ordering groceries from Target. And second of all, yeah, but like a lot more expensive. And then it's like half that shit is like 365 brand. It's so annoying. I just was getting really triggered during the entire experience, but I had to do it because
you could do that. Actually,
oh yeah, Amazon yeah. You Prime. Order through Amazon Prime. You could order a Whole Foods delivery. I don't know how well it works in you know, less sort of city like areas, but I was actually really lucky because what happens is you fill up your car and you get all excited and they're like, "Well, we hope you enjoy your car. There are no delivery windows for the next 5 days." So,
I got all excited because I was trying to do the online grocery thing with Instacart and they were like, "Okay, your delivery will be there on April 19th."
Yeah, but in this case, something magical happened and we got a window. Our groceries came within an hour. I was like, "What?"
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
Okay. Like, well, okay, I'm on here now. So have fun finishing this Top Chef recap because I'm on Amazon Prime Pantry right now. You know what? I want some flour. Like, there are certain things that are happening right now in our time that I just never thought would see. Like, people, you know, hoarding the toilet paper is an obvious one. Things like flour. I don't use flour that much anymore because I'm trying not to be 900 pounds, but I had some flour. And so I made tortillas last week. And I've just, you know, and Top Chef is on, which means I'm going to be making so much food because that's always what I do. And so I've been making all this bread stuff and I'm out of flour. And I saw on Lakeway Swap, which is, you know, like the local Facebook thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, flour, where do I find flour? God, it's like goddamn gold trying to find flour. And I was like, flour's gone? Come on.
This has been the moment I've been waiting for 8 years. I have like three giant bins of flour. I've got all-purpose flour, whole wheat flour, and bread flour. And they've been taking up space in my kitchen. I'm like, I know I'll need them.
Oh,
like,
good.
The time has come.
That is lucky. I made cookies last night with oats, bananas, chocolate chips, and like, you know, maple syrup. I made vegan cookies, basically. Wow. But I did not want to make vegan cookies. I wanted to make bad chocolate chip cookies. But I was like, they're not going to have any flour. All right, oats. Let's make this work, oats.
Well, I'm really bummed because the thing that's annoying with ordering your groceries, because I'm like, I don't want to go to a grocery store if I don't have to, you know? I'm not going to be like, I don't know if you saw the pictures of the Brentwood Farmers Market from yesterday where there was like hundreds of people all getting their fresh kale. I'm like, I'm not doing that, okay? I don't want coronavirus if I don't have to get it. So I'm trying to get everything delivered. And what's annoying when you get things delivered is it's really easy to forget things. Like, even though I'm really good about writing lists and stuff, I forgot to get garlic, so now I have no garlic. And I'm like, I don't know what, like, it's just to get the groceries is such an ordeal. And now it's like, damn it, I'm going to have a garlicless week, basically.
Oh, that sucks.
It's really annoying.
I buy big tubs of garlic, like the fresh peeled, it's already peeled.
I think that's what I'm going to do.
I do things like that to feel privileged.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like little things. Like, I don't have to peel my garlic. Ha ha. But I put them in the freezer.
Makes a difference.
Because it comes with so many, I just put them in little baggies in the freezer. Then I always have garlic. There's a tip.
That's so smart. You know, like, I'm going to look into that. I'm going to look into that. Anyway, the point is this. Everyone's eating food and trying food. And now they're in Whole Foods. And they are, they're getting their ingredients. And Eric has this plan to do like a classic African dish. And he wants to use duck. But guess who took all the duck? Lisa, who claimed to be all changed and nice and she's kinder and gentler. Of course, she goes in and takes all the duck.
Good for
her.
A right to take it. And, you know, Eric he's got something about him this year. And I guess maybe it's that he's famous now and stuff. But just the way he talks about him, he's got like a certain arrogance or something this year.
Oh, I'm not getting that. I still love sweet Eric.
Oh, I do. I get defensive for some reason, like with the duck thing. He's like, oh, well, I don't mind that she takes shots. She better do okay with that duck. And then later when he's questioned, he's like, well, the duck was gone. And I'm like, yeah, it's called, you know, a game where you go shopping for duck. Okay.
Also, I knew he was screwed when he said, well, I guess I'll just have to, I'll get scallops instead. I'm like, scallops or the death knell on Top Chef? I mean, how many contestants do we have to see succumb to scallops?
Yeah, and it's not something that you generally say, wow, there's no duck. You know what? I'm going to get scallops.
Yeah. Although I love them both.
It's not a natural progression from duck to scallops, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's dangerous, especially when you're trying to feed 200 people to have that many scallops and make sure they all taste good.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So, yeah, he gets scallop. And then scallop. Padma?
Mm-hmm.
Padma? And then Angela's like, I am so inspired by turmeric. I love turmeric.
Okay, Angela's spitting out now. My God, the guy thought of Vietnam and now he's going cuckoo.
I know, he really is. So so now they are all back in the kitchen and they're cooking. And Karen has decided to make a whole bunch of dumplings. But she's like, oh, well, I forgot the dumplings take a long time to make. I'm not sure how many I can get done, but we'll see. We'll see. I've got a James Beard Award, everyone. So we'll see.
And then Lisa's like, well, what I was really inspired by was fucking trucks. So I'm going to make some duck wheels, pour some gas in the duck. You know what? They have so many chilies. They love chilies. I'm going to highlight chilies.
Yeah, and she's right next to Eric. And so she's prepping all her like mountain of duck right in front of Eric. And she's like, what I want to do is I really want to honor the chilies more than the duck. I mean, the duck is just, it's more of a garnish at this point. It's not really a central part of it. You just can see Eric being like,
yeah. So I can't wait to treat this duck with very low level of importance. Eric's like, damn it!
It's time for a commercial. It's time for...
For the return of the Kardashians.
Don't you know?
Kick off the weekend with brand new Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Hey You.
Oh my God!
The Kardashians.
Stream or download all new episodes the same day as the US.
Best reality show.
It's a perfect family on another level.
Download the app or visit heyyou.com to get your 1 month free.
Crappin's commercial.
So Kevin's decided to make a fried terrine, so he's gonna cut up a whole bunch of meat and fry it. And he's just worried it's not gonna set. So I thought that was gonna be a big sticking point, and then we never come back to that issue ever again.
Mm-hmm. And then Stephanie's like, oh, I'm really concerned I bit off more than I can chew, especially flatbread. It's like, why? Okay. So you're going to do flatbread the week after Luigi gets kicked off for flatbread, and you're making Indian food for Padma. Good luck.
I know, seriously. She's like, well, I mean, I was doing well, but then I spilled all the creamer on the flatbread, so I had to start over. So,
everyone, I just like to announce I'm having trouble with the flatbread. And also, it would be really nice if you're out of sticky notes. You need to let me know a week in advance that you're running low. That would be great. Thanks.
Hey, guys. Just want everyone to know that the copier is jammed at the moment. So I'm just going to be a few minutes late. We're just going to have to figure out what's wrong. Oh, there's a flatbread in the copier. So someone put a flatbread in the paper tray. I'm sorry. That might have been me.
Oh, God. It's funny because the flatbread is now printed. Please let me know about sticky notes going low a week before you need them. Thanks. That's weird, isn't it? God. All right.
Hey, guys. Just a reminder to the office. My flatbreads are not dry erase boards, so could you please stop writing presentations on them? Because I actually have a limited amount and I have to serve them.
So, hey, I wonder what Angela is thinking. Oh, my God. I hope the turmeric broth is okay. Oh, turmeric. Oh.
The turmeric's on in Saigon.
The fish is yellower than hell.
So then Malarkey's like, well, you know what? The good thing is that tomorrow, if anything goes wrong, I'm already at the train station. Yeah.
Train. You guys could one day be famous enough that you take a train.
Hey, did you guys catch that? Want me to do it again? Are we rolling? Okay. All right. Let me do that again. Okay. Take two. All right. The good thing is that tomorrow, if anything goes wrong, I'm already... Wait, you moved the camera away? I was in the... I hadn't hit the punchline yet. I can do it third time. I'll do it third. We have a hot mic? Okay.
Oh, God.
Put it on a sticky note, Brian. So they're in the cars again because they're on the way to Union Station, the glorious Union Station.
Yeah, they're gonna. That's for the. This, I guess it's the next day. So
remember when we were there together just a few short months ago, Ben? I know. We station. We got a train, and we're like, "Wow, isn't this place pretty?"
Well, we did do that. We took the Malarkey train down to San Diego because, well, actually, we took it to Irvine, but it was headed toward San Diego because that's where he's based. But we went to our Irvine show. That was so fun.
Yeah, that was the train. Fun. We had a good time.
I loved that. God, that was fun.
So Malarkey's like, well. Okay, so a bunch of people are making tuna tartare, right? Was it three of them? Well,
Melissa's making a beef tartare, which I was immediately support tartare. Because I love Melissa. And then she's like, I'm just worried because Malarkey's making beef tartare also. And then they cut to Malarkey doing it, and he's like, 200 people is nothing. I mean, this is what I do. I mean, right, everyone? Come on. I'm like, shut up.
He's making tuna tartare, though, right?
No, beef tartare.
Oh, it was beef? So he's like, oh, fermented egg yolks all in their own Ziploc. This is what I do. And I was like, fermented egg yolks? Oh, geez.
I know. And he's like, you don't want the struggle food, okay? You want the happy food. So come to my station. And then he gives this, like, monkey chime smile. You know those, like, monkeys with the symbols that are like... He, like, has that smile. It's like that one emoji. I think that's supposed to be, like, the embarrassed emoji where it's just the mouth is open and not going up or down. It's just this big horizontal.
The teeth.
Rictus.
You see the teeth. Yeah. Yeah. That's, like, the awkward. That's that emoji.
Yeah, that's how his he face. Smiles.
Yeah, that's his face for sure. And nothing says struggle more than fermented egg yolks. Okay? I'm sorry, sir. Seriously. So then Angela's like, oh, my God, Vietnam, the turmeric. Jen, taste it. And Jen's like, God, God, I need something sour. Jesus Christ, Angela. What are you trying to fucking kill me? God. I'm loving Jen, by the way.
She's like, you're trying to give me Vietnam, but what I'm getting is Santa Monica. Okay? Put it back.
Okay, so get the guests and judges, everybody starts showing up to Union Station. And wow, Gail, you really went all out with your fucking little tiny floral dress. Wow. Gail is, you can always count on Gail. That pattern is terrible, Gail.
Seriously. And we see Jonathan Gold's widow, Lori Ochoa. I don't know Ochoa. How to say it. Sorry. Ochoa. Ruth Reichel. And we see basically like a who's who of like super famous LA chefs and then the people who want to be their friends, like Jon Favreau. Yeah. So we see them all around.
He's like, why wouldn't I be here? I'm in a film called Chef. So.
Yeah. And of course, Roy Choi is there because there's a camera. And I'm so obnoxious if I would not. By the way, I say this as someone who has been in the background of three different Top Chefs, once with you.
Yeah, you did.
No, twice. Twice with you.
Yeah, we've I say this twice. As a fan. We were myself. One Top Chef and one Top Chef Desserts. And then you went with Michelle Collins once. Haven't you been more than
Top
that?
Top Chef Masters. No, just three. I've been to each iteration. We did Top Chef together. We did Top Chef Desserts, and as you said, I did with Michelle Collins. We did Top Chef Masters, which was my most prominent experience because we had a camera on us, and you got to see us order. And then when one of the chefs made a quesadilla, when they were deliberating on the quesadilla, it cut to me a close up of me shoving it in my face, saying. Tender, delicious.
Wow, what a tender quesadilla.
The point is, I'm up front.
What did
with
they
being...
melt this cheese? Nice work.
Wow, so what is this sort of unique, very flat bread? They call this a tortilla? This broth goes with the quesadilla, right? Like, how did you even find that Szechuan broth?
I know. I was very jealous, actually, when I saw that. I was like, God, I've never been jealous of Michelle Collins more than getting to go with Ben to this.
I love it. Every time they show that episode, everyone's like, I think I saw you on TV, which is like my dream. Like, that's all I want. See, that's why I'm upfront about being a fame whore, okay? Like, if there's a camera, I will be there too, Roy Choi. But I don't act like I'm cooler. Like, yeah, I'm just some like cool, hardened dude. I'm never going to get to eat in his restaurants ever again. I'm really...
Sure you will. He doesn't listen to this. Honey, don't you worry. So then the judges split up. It's Ruth and Tom, and then Padma and Gail walk around together, which is hilarious.
Yeah, and... I agree. I was like, this is something, because they never have Padma and Gail walk around. It's always Padma with Tom, I feel like. It's always Padma and a dude, but it's never Padma and Gail. So this was a little, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I like that they have learned to work with each other so well. Because they walk around, and Padma's always like, like, she's always got that attitude towards Gail, and Gail's like, not even thinking of Padma, just hope that I get to say something intelligent about food, because that's what's important in life. And then
Padma's
they let
like,
each other...
popular, I'm going to make you popular, Gail.
And Gail's like, I'm flying high, defying gravity, because that's what Jonathan Gold would have wanted.
No good deed goes unpunished, Gail. Can you tell I watched Wicked yesterday?
Dude, I love Wicked.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, I like that they've learned to work really well together, and they just let it. They're like, oh, okay, I guess it's Gail's turn to be upset about something. You go, girl. And then whenever Padma's mad, Gail's like, well, you know, Padma's upset, so I'm just going to let Padma go off. You go, girl. And I was like, wow, you go, girls, yeah. Both of you.
Yeah. So they go and they, so we see Nini serving Gail and Padma. Nini has made this thing. We haven't even talked about it. It's a masa ball soup. So it's a play on matzo ball soup. So the soup part is a reference to one restaurant. And then the masa is a reference to... I think with the Winter Gorilla Tacos, and then she's making an Asian spin on it, which was an ode to the Filipino restaurant, I think it was. So this is her masa ball soup, which there's a big question mark over it. So she serves it, and Padma's like, I really like the flavor that the masa brings to the broth. What do you think, Gail? Gail's just like, I think it's very thoughtful. Great insight, Gail. Thank you. Thanks for coming back to this season.
And she's like, come on, Gail, don't feel like you can't say anything. And Gail's like, all right, I feel that every little bit felt different, lifted, and balanced. Well done, stupid. All right, let's go to the next.
You're boring me. Hey, Nini, do you have any rubber ball soup? I think Gail would like that more.
And then Brian, Tom, and Ruth go up to Gregory. I'm sorry. They go to Brian, too, but I don't remember what they said to him. But they were talking to Gregory, and he's made halibut with turmeric. Uh-oh! Dun-dun-dun! And tomato broth with chilies. And Tom eats it, and he's like, pineapple? And he's like, it's to balance the sourness. And he's like, well cooked.
Well, that shows a lot more insight than my son, who's a mixologist, who his version of balancing the sourness is adding more soda water.
I just never know if Tom is dissing you or not, you know?
I know.
It's like, pineapple, really? Pineapple? Okay, well cooked. Great.
All right. So then Melissa, she serves some mala beef tartare with anchovy aioli to Tom and Ruth. And Tom's like, oh, wow. I bit into a piece of chili, I guess, because I'm burning up. My mouth is on fire. I'm seeing the gates of hell, and it's my mouth. That's
and Ruth is
right
like,
now.
Well, I don't know. Mine was pleasantly spicy. He's like, nope. Hurts. It really hurts. I got some chili in there.
Well, like, I guess it would hurt if you're a pussy, huh?
he just keeps going on and on. It's so funny because I cut back to him and he's still pissed. And someone's like, Tom, are you okay? And Ruth is like, he got too much chili on the spoon.
I mean, you'd think he would know how to eat, right? He's a chef. If you see chili in your spoon, you don't fucking eat what's in your spoon, am I right? But, you know, sounds like that chili died in vain.
So Padma and Gail are over at Lisa's place, and Lisa's like, God, I love fucking food trucks. Yeah, food trucks!
Oh, I'm sure you and Gail would get along quite well. I always say Gail is sort of like the trucker of our gang. Right, Gail? Right? Give her a little hat.
So then they go to Eric, and he's serving them Ethiopian braised red cabbage with scallop. And he's like, you know, I'm doing this because not a lot of people can do what I can do, Tom. And Tom's like, I think a lot of women in Africa would not be happy with you saying that.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of people can't do what you do is
is what you do, make undercooked cabbage? You're right, because everyone knows how to cook cabbage, so you're right. Maybe just it's you and my son are the only ones who don't know how to cook cabbage. You're right. High five, right, Ruth?
That's kind of why I'm annoyed with Eric, at least in this episode. I'm like, get over yourself, Eric. You braise some fucking cabbage. Really?
I did like how Tom corrected him. He's like, there's like an entire, you know, massive region of Africa that of women who are like, I do this every day.
Yeah.
While I'm like doing five other things.
And then Ruth is, he's like, yeah, the cabbage. And Ruth goes, I grew up with my dad cooking cabbage. Come on. I'm Russian. What'd she say she was?
I'm not German.
Russian. German.
I'm German. Okay. I love rules. I love cabbage. And I love specific types of electronic music. And this has none of it.
Cabaret. You know, you don't want it to crunch. You want all those flavors. You want those flavors to come together and be one. Unfortunately. It's like chili in the mouth. It's like you trying to eat chili. Yes, it's a fucking disaster, Tom. All right.
This is like the exact opposite of Tom eating chili, okay? It's boring. You don't care what happens. And I'm not sweating.
No. So then they get to Angelo, and he's like, turmeric. And he's like, guys, I was so inspired by humility and grace. Okay.
Was that a show on NBC? So he serves a crudo of tuna with chilled turmeric and coconut broth. And Ruth is like, she basically takes a bite and she goes, thank you, and just hands the soup back immediately. And she's like, I would have done it more gracefully, but you know, I grew up German, so we only know how to operate in one way.
Yeah. Tom's like, well, it was savory, but it looked like dessert. You know, that just didn't work for me. Ruth? And she's like, you know, it's like Padme and Gale in the dressing room. The Greens never said hello to each other. Right? Don't just try and talk now when you're in my mouth, all right?
You know, it's like you and Chili's, Tom, okay? Just two things that don't work well together.
So then Padme and Gale go to Karen, and she's like, I wanted to take all of the experiences that I had today and wrap them up in a little inspirational rapper thing.
I'm bored. Give me food, fat lady.
Jamie, neck tattoo, made some duck mole.
Duck mole. Mole taco.
Yeah.
And he's asking Tom, he's like, how was it? And Tom's like, I'll tell you later. Just have to go to the bathroom. I had a chilly situation over there, so I'll get back to you.
So then Malarkey is with Padman and Gale. And go ahead. What I wrote drips all
okay,
over.
This,
what does that
this
mean?
Is what he wrote. This is what he made. He's like, oh, what we have here today is a fried rice beef tartare with kimchi vinaigrette and peanut crack and fermented egg yolk. Okay, you know what? Peanut crack, you know what? Just throw yourself off a pier. I don't want to hear about peanut crack. I actually hate when chefs have quote-unquote crack. And I'm very triggered by this because there was this restaurant that by a former Top Chef contestant, Betty Grubb, that just closed about a month ago. Just closed. And she served bacon crack. And it's just this like very clever, cute thing. Like, oh, it's crack because you can't get enough of it. But it's actually annoying because like, just give me bacon, right? So here, just give me peanut. Don't give me peanut crack, malarkey.
Yeah, God, if you're going to say crack, give me back Whitney. Okay.
So Gail's like, oh,
crack,
this is real.
What is peanut crack? Just like peanuts on top? That he's like, it's peanut crack.
I think did he make like a brittle or something that was just so delicious it was like crack? I don't know. It was like very, it's like a very basic thing to me.
Oh.
Peanut crack. It's like clever.
You just made me sad talking about Betty's restaurant because I used to go to Grub and she would come sit down at the table and be like, how are you, sweetie? Like she knew you.
Oh, I love Betty.
She didn't. And she's like, carrots and pretzels. Like she would always have carrots and pretzels to start.
Yes. Yep. Listen, I would always go in there and want to love that restaurant, and I never could. I think the first few times I went there, they were always out of something, like forks. Like literally one time I went there, they were out of forks, or like pancakes. Like, sorry, we're out of pancakes. And it's like this cute, fun restaurant, and the menu has all this kitschy stuff, and it just seems like so fun and loving and warm. But secretly, there's like a million rules that you have to follow, and if you don't follow the rule, they're like, sorry, we can't do that for you. No, we don't do that. No, I'm sorry, that's not available. Drove me nuts every time.
Yeah.
But they made some good eggs.
Well, Malarkey, speaking of good eggs, fermented egg yolks, delicious. So he serves this to them, and Gail's like, wow, this is a real mashup. And he's like, oh, prepare to get blown away, ladies.
And yeah, they're like, he goes, you ready for the show? And Padma goes, been ready, hungry, feed me. I'm just speaking on behalf of Gail.
But she literally says, blown away, ladies. And they're like, okay. And he goes, it's good. It is good. They're like, oh, whatever, you douchebag.
Padma's like, for once, I'm actually enjoying the company of Gail more than someone else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for healing our relationship, Teeth.
Jen serves up chickpea and navy bean stew with hominy, and Ruth is like, I really feel like this honored the challenge. This was really wonderful. I like that. Tom, are you still in the bathroom shitting out that chili? Okay, he's back.
Then Brian Voltaggio has made short rib with charred eggplant puree. And then Leanne gets Ruth and Tom, and she's made... she's made a crazy thing. End of summer hayashi with black plums, tomato, seaweed, galette, and king crab vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Tom just goes, okay. And she's like, cheese and fish, guys, it happens.
Oh, you don't have to tell me about it. All Gail talks about is putting American cheese on salmon.
Yeah, that's a big risk, because a lot of times these chefs will be like, cheese and fish, how dare you? I'm like, it's called a tuna melt, you losers.
I know. I'm like, have you ever had crab, like a crab dip? You know, like, I don't think it's as crazy as people say. I remember actually, what was the name of that chain restaurant, McCormick and Schmick's? I remember going there once years ago, and their specialty dish was like some bonkers thing that was like, a salmon that was stuffed with like brie cheese and shrimp or something weird like that.
Oh my God. Tom would have shed a chili right on the table.
It was really good. It was crazy, but it was good. I mean, hasn't everyone ever had like, you know, like a pasta dish that has like a cream sauce and like shrimp in it?
Yeah, I mean, I have. But yeah, on food shows, they go crazy. Then we go over to Stephanie, and she's like, guess what? I ended up buying new sticky notes if anybody needs them. And also, here's some grilled naan with curried peas. And Padma's like, so, an Indian nacho, if you will. And she's like, yeah, an Indian nacho. She's like, got you to say Indian. Well, as an Indian.
Hey, Gail, do you want to take this one? Just to welcome you back to the show. So Gail's like, have you ever cooked Indian food like this before? You know, with the spices? Ever? That was good, Gail. That was really good. Here, let me show you how you really are supposed to say it. Did you mean to cook food that had no spices or any semblance of Indian food ever in it?
And Stephanie's like, oh, I didn't take into consideration I was cooking Indian for Padma. Not my best move.
Padma's like, is this supposed to be naan? Well, it was supposed to be flatbread, but there was an incident with a copier, so that's actually technically loose leaf paper.
Why does this naan have sticky notes written on it?
Why does it say 3M on this naan?
So Gail's like, okay, Padma, your turn to feel something. And Padma's like, well, Indian food has so many tart flavors. I would have loved a dot of something. Anything, Gail. Gail's like, sure, sure. Thanks for the support, loser.
Now you can go tell your friend Neelu that you had some terrible Indian food.
So then Kevin gets Tom and Ruth, and he's like, well, the prevailing quality of the restaurant was that they were very, very real. Shut up, Kevin, okay? Just talk like a normal fucking person. The prevailing quality was that they were real. Get over yourself.
Ruth is like, you have 5 more seconds before I reveal a knife out of my bangs, okay? Serve me food. I was just gonna say, he served a roasted pork mushroom and black currant terrine with granny's apple butter.
Yeah. And Mrs. Gold goes, John was a big fan of head cheese. I was like, oof,
Yikes.
And I've never had her cheese.
It's just the thought of it, you know? And I'm ignorant, all of you people out there who are like, well, God, Ronnie sure is ignorant. Yes, I am. I do not want head cheese, okay? Keep it to yourself. Keep your fucking head cheese to yourself. And Ruth, yeah, Ruth is like, bottle this apple butter. It is delicious. Tom, you want to try and choke on this? Tom will probably try and drink this out his nose. All right, watch Tom, out for Tom.
Hey, Tom, is this apple butter going to be too spicy for you? I love busting his
butt. Can someone get a fire hydrant so Tom can try something? All right.
Hey, can we get a glass of milk over here? Tom's about to try some apple butter. You know he has a real sensitive palate.
So then Nini's like, I made matzo ball soup, but it's masa. It's masa instead of matza. Get it?
So basically, big dry corn ball. Sounds great. Thanks.
So then Lisa is serving Tom, and she's like, yeah, I wanted a pickled salad to cut through the richness. And he goes, so you think you actually did that? She's like, yep.
He's like, oh, okay. Can't argue with that. I mean, I honestly can't taste anything right now because my mouth has been blown out by that apple butter.
So Ruth is like, pink-haired lady, did you make your own dumpling wrappers?
I certainly did. What I did was to practice, I took my James Beard Award certificate and folded it up. And once I had that mastered, I started applying it to wonton wrappers. And then Melissa serves Padma, and she's like, delicious, delicious. Oh my God, I'm totally galling this moment. I can't believe I'm choking.
Then Tom goes to Stephanie and tastes her Indian food, and he's like,
do you cook a lot of Indian at home? There, Stephanie?
And she's like, nope. And he goes,
yeah.
just walks off. They're cold. My God.
Yeah. So then Malarkey serves Tom and Ruth. And this is just so divine. He serves them and he's like, so here I am. I'm bringing the whole city together in one glorious bite. Much like Jonathan Gold. Did you guys get that? You guys want to use that in your trailer? I can do it again. You need me to do it again? All right, let me try it again. Bringing the whole city together in one glorious bite, much like Jonathan Gold, monkey chime smile.
So then Ruth is like, Melissa's beef tartare was good, but Malarkey's is just a show-off dish. Malarkey's is basically what everyone hates about restaurants.
Yeah, she goes, it's the kind of thing that a lot of people who hate restaurants hate about restaurants. Like, one of the most withering critiques we've ever heard on this show.
And it's so fucking true. I love that somebody finally said it.
Here's the things that people hate about restaurants. Okay, number one, rats. If you see a rat in a restaurant, you hate it. Number two, this food.
Fermented egg yolks, all right? Masturbate at home. That would be great.
And then it cuts to Malarkey telling everyone, they loved it. They loved this one.
Nailed it. Thank God you guys are in a train station. Get that, guys? So Padma's like, all right, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you to all the chefs who've been here. The odd Alfred Hitchcock shadow of Jonathan Gold on the wall. Trains. Everybody was clearly inspired.
I want to thank Naomi over at Starbucks who whipped up a quick latte to cool down Tom's mouth. That was nice. Thank you. Anyway, I'm pretty. Who wants to speak next?
And then Ruth is like, Jonathan made everyone understand what food good does and how powerful it can be. Never once did he crave a fucking fermented egg yolk, I'll tell you that. But God, he was a good guy and a good friend. And Erica's like, I'm touching my heart right now because I'm feeling things with my heart.
Let me tell you something. Jonathan, he didn't write negative things about food. He just wrote about food, okay? So even if he had Stephanie's shitty-ass quote-unquote nan, he'd say that was something to eat. He would never be negative about that.
No. And then we're at judge's table, and Kevin's like, I'm tough. He's like crossing his arms and being surly.
Did you notice that the judge's table was inside their kitchen, which I did not like? That's very Food Network, and I think it's off-brand for Bravo. Their judge's table has to have a separate, dark, foreboding room.
Yeah, was it last time? Note.
I don't think so. A few seasons ago, they started doing judge's tables sometimes on-site of the competition. But generally speaking, the judge's table is... Maybe it always has been in the kitchen and they just lit it darkly and we just never noticed. But I thought that, like, it was just weird. I did not appreciate it.
Well, especially because, like, the kitchen looks like it was designed by fucking Blondie on Diners and Drive-Ins and Dives. What's his name?
Guy Fieri.
Yeah, it's really like, hey, it's designed by Gadzooks. Like a crazy, well, at least, wacky kitchen.
But at least there's, like, a nice wall of greenery or, like, succulents. I like that.
Yeah.
So so now we hear that who are at the top, the top three. So they say Nene is in the top, and it cuts to Malarkey just scowling. Like, really? It's that little girl who's in my car, in my BMW X7? Really? I'm like, yeah, that's right, Malarkey. That's right.
Yeah, Nene. Sucker. And everyone else, step to the side. So they really loved Nene's food, and Tom was like,
well, you know, I was under the weather. Guess I shouldn't be sharing that right now when this is actually airing, because now everybody at home is terrified. But basically, I was under the weather, and I wish I had your soup bottled up, because it was basically penicillin in a jar. So
yeah, so I'm sure all you chefs are appreciating the fact that while I'm under the weather and my palate is compromised, that I'm judging you all and determining your future with my messed up palate at the moment.
Okay. Whoever wins gets a sneeze right in their eyeballs. Okay? Sound great?
So then Ruth is like, Kevin, I walk up to your station and I see this clunky ball and I think, this is going to be a disaster. Okay, I mean, I'm a German. I grew up German. We don't have clunky balls. We have perfectly round balls that look delicious, okay? It's just like Edelweiss on a plate every time. And then I see this thing. It's like, it looks like someone deep fried a bag and put it on a plate. And I eat it. It was delicious.
It was delicious. This is what Jonathan lived for, this kind of thing. And bottle up that goddamn butter, damn it. And Kevin's like, well, I'd have to ask permission from Granny.
She's like, all right, shut up. So anyway, hey, Brian, I loved that you were making your dish in front of us. There was some showmanship. Unlike that fuckface Malarkey behind you, sitting there grinning at the reflection of himself in the table leg.
Hey, Malarkey, would you close your mouth? I'm seeing stars over here, all right? Jeez. And then Tom's like, well,
the short ribs, they were perfectly cooked, but... you know the real star?
And Malarkey's like, me? He's like,
not Malarkey. It was the broth.
And Malarkey's just like, I'm nodding really hard because I'm a professional and I totally agree with whatever the famous professionals say.
Yeah. He is so fully aware of the camera and mugging for it at all times. And it's annoying because they keep using his footage as a result. But I don't know if they're using it because he's being very camera friendly or just to say, look at this douchebag right now. I think it's the latter.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking douche. So he's nodding too hard. And then Ruth is like, the chef who made the most beautiful dish and one that Jonathan would have loved was Clunky Ball Kevin. Come on, Ginger. Get your prize.
And have I told you yet that you really should be bottling up that apple butter? Because it is something else. God. You know?
And then Kevin, of course. He's like, Jonathan Gold was so miraculously important. It's especially great to be victorious in a challenge I connect to as much as I do. I'm like, Kevin, you're not on Game of Thrones. I don't know why you're fucking talking about. He's like, hitherto more so.
He literally is like a wildling. And by the way, Pam is trying to make him cry because she's like, how are you feeling right now? I see something misty in your eyes. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, he's like, illness that almost killed me, but journey, and I needed to prove to myself that I am still amazing and can make clunky balls that taste amazing. She's like, wow, glad you live. Step to the side.
Wow, we're really glad you're here. Now make Gail a quesadilla. She's starving, bless her heart. Look, she's frothing at the mouth.
Gail, get your fist out of your mouth. Who left mustard on the table?
Gail, stop eating that marble. Not all clunky balls are made the same. You can't eat all the clunky balls, Gail.
So Angela, Stephanie, and Eric are on the bottom, and Angela is so shocked. It's hilarious. He's like, but I said Vietnam and turmeric a lot. How could this happen?
I thought the heat was on in Saigon. And then we go to commercial. And by the way, I noticed that there was an ad for something on USA called Dirty John, Betty. So it's interesting. we had said before what happened to all the scripted stuff on Bravo. They clearly are done with that mandate, and they've clearly moved it over to USA because now Dirty John, I guess they're franchising it into, because it's about Betty Broderick. So I thought that was interesting. I guess Bravo is done with scripted officially.
Oh, yeah. I heard that there was another season. I didn't know that it moved. Wow.
Yeah, they moved it over to USA. Because, you know, all the cable all these conglomerates are basically just, they're shuffling all their programming around. Like, you see it on Viacom all now. Like, Drag Race went from Logo to VH1, and then they're putting it also on Showtime. So anyway,
yeah, they're showing a lot of E! Stuff on Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how it's working now. Hmm. So then, back to the show.
Well, did you notice that when they announced the bottom three, Padma goes, step to the side, and then it just cuts to Gail cracking her knuckles. I was like, what are you going to do,
no.
Gail?
No, I did not notice that.
Like, what the fuck? Is Gail in prison right now? What is Gail going to do?
Since none of you guys fed Gail an egg, she's going to punch one of you in the face. Go get him, Gail.
So they start with Stephanie, and Stephanie's like, I bit him a bit more off than I can chew. And Padma's like, you know what it tasted like? Nothing. I thought it lacked salt. I thought it lacked acid. And I thought it lacked a point of view. Like, Jesus, would you like a fucking belt?
Name me an Indian one. Well, I also like, before she even gets into Stephanie, I love when Padma sets them up, right? She just hates what Stephanie makes. She just hates it. She sees that Stephanie hates her own food. She sees that Stephanie is miserable. She's got creamer stains on her pants. And Padma just goes, how did today go for you, Stephanie? Like, I'm about to tear you a new one.
She's like, Ruth. Well, I thought. Jeez, Shakespeare, calm down over there.
And Ruth is like, I kept praying. Isn't there any chutney on here? Where, God, could we get some of that bottled apple butter? Oh, it's not bottled yet. Okay, that explains
that. Yeah, that was really spicy. It actually hurt me.
Shut up, Tom. We're talking about the goddamn apple butter.
Wuss.
Hey, Eric. How was your day today? Probably not good because you're at the bottom, right? Ha!
He's like, well, I wanted to do a duck, but the duck was gone. And she's like, did you want the cabbage to be cooked how it was?
Did you want to serve us something terrible that even a peasant could make?
Tom's like, you know, I think it was an issue of how quickly you cook cabbage, because when you have liquid in the cabbage, it's not done right, which any cabbage aficionado like Ruth over here knows. So, Ruth, you want to take it away?
I'm German!
All right. Nice job, Ruth. All right. Back to Gail. Gail?
Hey, Angelo. How did you decide what dish you were going to serve us? And please don't talk about the helicopter in Miss Saigon again.
Angela's like, I was inspired by Jonathan in Miss Saigon, ma'am. She's like, please get to it. He's like, well, I really like fried fish with turmeric, and so I was inspired by that. And Tom goes, huh.
Well, was there a pastry chef in that restaurant? Huh.
Yeah, Tom is trying to be like Padma. He's trying to cue up his shade.
Oh, so when you went to that restaurant, was there a pastry chef working there that showed you something? Here I come, everyone. Here it comes.
Nailed it.
I'm saying this because the sauce was so sweet. It was like dessert. Yo mama.
Your tuna was lost. It was lost.
And Padma's like, I liked the tuna, but none of it made sense. And Ruth,
sort of like Gail's outfit.
It tasted like the dress barn. Gail. And Ruth is like, I'm sorry, but this tuna died in vain.
It was just a piece of flesh and a sweet broth. Am I right? And then it cuts to Malarkey. He's like trying to pretend that he's shocked, but he's actually smiling. He's like smiling and trying to turn his smile into like, oh, wow, this is terrible to hear about. But he's actually like loving it.
Yeah. So then the judges in alone time, you know, talk about who they liked and who they didn't like, as they do. And Gail's like, I think that the chefs on the bottom just overthought their dishes. And Tom's like, yeah, you know, Angelo's dish, it just suffered from a bad palate. Basically,
we call that Gail. We call that Gailing it.
Well, I don't know if you heard this before, but I like the tuna.
Yes, the soup was damn sweet, but I really liked his tuna because I'm a complex person.
But, you know, if you've ever been to that restaurant, it's just so rustic. And so from that to then make this tweed dish, I wanted to bully this dish in middle school. If I met this dish in middle school, I'd say, you want a bob for apples? And then I'd drown the little fucker in a bucket of water.
All right. I felt like I was eating a soup made of the movie Juno. It was so twee. God, is Michael Cera in this soup? When she called that dish twee, I lost it. That is such an insult. Like, she called it twee. It was so, so perfect.
And then it cuts to the chefs talking amongst themselves in the stew room. And Angela's like, I knew it was sweet, but I didn't know it was that sweet. And then cuts back. And Tom's like, and Eric's cabbage. Huh. Liquid. It was gray. Liquid. And Gail's
and how
like,
spicy was that? I mean, wow. My mouth is on fire from all that cabbage water.
and then no one really liked Eric's. And then it cuts to Eric in the kitchen going, I mean, the cuisine itself is communal, okay? It's everyone grabbing and digging, and it's just lost in this format. It's like, okay, Eric.
Don't make it.
Yeah, and don't blame the format for your undercooked cabbage. What does that have to do with anything? And if it's everyone grabbing and digging in, why would you make fucking stewed cabbage in the first place? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Gail's like, you know, it was really an issue of being timid and not following through. Sort of like your patterns, Gail, right? Am I right? High five, Ruth. Okay. Oh, those were your bangs. Okay. It works.
To me, the person who suffers the most from blindness is obvious, and she's sitting to my left. But disregarding Gail's general being on this planet, the dish I didn't like the most was Stephanie's. I mean, that naan was... Should I do it again in one judgment? That naan was basically every outfit from this season that Gail has currently worn. Tasteless. Gail?
Yeah, I mean, that naan was dry and... lacked personality.
Can I do it again? Like...
All right, Padma, you do this one.
Dry and lack personality, sort of like Gail's fashion sense. How was that, Ruth?
Ruth is like, well, you sure got a lot of those, but I love every one of them, right?
And then Gail goes, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the lamb because I completely forgot about it. Wow, and that's from you, Gail. The moment Gail forgets about a lamb is the moment that... pigs fly. Am I right? No, there's no actual pigs flying, Gail. Sit down.
Put down your fork, Gail.
Gail, stop throwing your fork at the sky. You're not going to catch the pigs. They're not there.
Then Ruth comes in for the kill. She goes, you know what I feel like? She's... She goes, I feel like the three bottom chefs forgot that for food is supposed to be delicious. And if you don't want to eat a dish, the chef has a problem.
It's almost like the three, you know what it is? It's like the three bottom chefs. I almost think you guys just brought them in from Valvoline and said, hey, put on this this coat and make some clunky balls. You know what I'm saying?
Then Tom's like, you know, one thing about Jonathan is he didn't write critical reviews, so everybody gets a prize. Just kidding. You guys sucked, okay? But Padma, take it away. She's like, Angelo, you suck. Please pack your knives and go back to the regional tour of Miss Saigon, please, loser.
Bye, Angelo.
But we'll be seeing you at Last Chance Kitchen. Oh, yeah, that's right. You get to do Tom's sideshow, who no one watches. Enjoy that.
So Angelo's big speech at the end is, he's like, well, my son has special needs and suffers, but his circumstances don't define them, and this doesn't define me. I was like,
I have a special need, too, to have good food.
And that brings us to the end of Top Shiffer.
Oh my God, I can't believe we did an hour and 14 minutes out of that. That's crazy. I know. You're bonkers.
Well, we will be back tomorrow with Top Chef. Also, episode 2, which is on our bonus feed, Crappens on Demand video.
Shots of Sunset tomorrow.
What did I say?
You said Top Chef.
Oh, God damn it. Shaws of Sunset. It was right in my head. So Shaws is tomorrow. And then, yeah, we're going to be releasing part two of our 7-part bonus series, Tiger King. You can find that over on our Patreon bonus episodes and on our Crappens on Demand videos. And don't forget our live show coming up this Thursday night. Pre-show is at 7:30 on Instagram Live. Pacific time, and then the main Real Housewives of New York live show will be streaming on Patreon Crappens on Demand at 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern. Okay,
yeah,
we'll see you guys soon.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
For the return of the Kardashians. Don't you know? Kick off the weekend with brand new Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Hey You.
Oh my God!
The Kardashians.
Stream or download all new episodes the same day as the US.
Best reality show.
It's a perfect family on another level.
Download the app or visit heyyou.com to get your 1 month free.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week, we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore as we help you through the lockdown.
It was quarantine date ideas, and the list was just Deliveroo or Uber Eat deliveries to each other's homes, online quizzes, iMessage game apps. It's like so depressing. I think I'd rather just be single.
Doesn't matter what we look like. Doesn't matter where we are. We're just in boxes now. We live in boxes. Listen to The Luke and Pete Show every Monday and Thursday.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production. Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.